aside from a house or a car specifically, what is the most expensive thing you own? Wendy?
A car.
Name an animal with three letters in its name.
Alligator. Name something that's better than being rich.
Poor.
Besides a bird, something in a bird cage.
Hamster.
Something that comes with a summer storm.
Snow.
Something Russia's famous for, Bob.
Russians.
Something a burglar would not want to see when he breaks into a house. Rob.
Naked grandma.
Reason you might stay indoors on a beautiful day.
Because it's raining?
Name something you might buy that could turn out to be phony.
Yeah, a horse.
Name a time that most people get up.
In the morning.
A time most people go to bed.
At night.
This is the 7 at 11 on Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin.
Well, Kyle, it's my time to guess. But I got to just bring up first the Tyreek Hill situation that happened this morning. You know, we compared it to the Scottie Scheffler situation that happened in Louisville before the PGA Championship. And Tyreek Hill, it was reported he was arrested. We know he was detained, but it was reported and has been reported that he was arrested and then released. But we know he was handcuffed. Also, have you seen the video where he is chest down on the concrete in Florida there?
I did see he was chest down. I sure did.
I mean, that is a pretty, again, I said, knowing Tyreek Hill the way from afar, been able to watch him, I have a sense that in some ways he will elevate this week if it's at all possible. But that is a traumatic, traumatic thing that, you know, may not sink in this week for him and may be something that doesn't hit him until later on. But I mean, that was a real scene that happened outside of Hard Rock Casino Stadium out there in Miami, of Tyreek Hill being arrested after a driving violation. He was stopped for speeding and got into a verbal altercation with the police there in Miami. So that is what they're calling it now, that it was speeding as he was going into the game.
Yeah, therapy is real. Make sure you have a partner you can talk to and make sure you have therapy, because traumatic situations like that happen all the time. So if you need some, definitely hit up the team.
All right, it's time for our 7-11. You're asking, I'm answering.
Yes, yes, yes. So this 7 at 11 has two inspirations. One of the inspirations is John Anderson. John Anderson, formerly of SportsCenter of ESPN. He joins KBN every Tuesday, I believe, and he joined us on Thursday this week. But every Tuesday he joins us to talk football. Now, something us and John talked about was the fact of quarterbacks. And if, you know, we had to deal with some of these quarterbacks of the past, he started rattling off random names of former Packers and different quarterbacks. I had no idea who he was talking about.
Yep.
So, with Jordan Love being injured and the Green Bay Packers looking to probably lean on Malik Willis, I want to know, who are the top seven franchise leaders in touchdown passes in Green Bay Packer history?
So just all-time Packers touchdown leaders?
All-time Packers touchdown leaders.
All right, I'll go with Brett Favre.
Brett Favre is number two on that list, as he is number two with 442 total touchdowns.
I will go with Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is number one on that list with 475 touchdown passes.
I forgot about that.
You're cooking. You're cooking right now.
You're right. But I forgot about that, passed Favre in,
oh, come on,
in touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers.
No, I guess it makes sense. But yeah, that's impressive, impressive. Let's go with Bart Starr.
Bart Starr, surprisingly, is number three on this list.
Why is it surprising?
I missed a lot of touchdown passes for the 1950s and 60s and 70s. Or 60s, really. Bart Starr with 152 touchdown passes, which is almost 300 less than where number two, Brett Favre, was. So you have number one in Aaron Rodgers. You have number two in Brett Favre. You have number three in Bart Starr. Craig, let's see what you got.
you know, obviously I didn't live here, but there's a few that would seemingly be obvious, which would be Lynn Dickey.
Lynn Dickey is number four. You're cooking, Craig. Lynn Dickey, number four, with 133 total touchdown passes.
So the next one seems obvious, but he started for such a short time that I think I could be wrong, but my next obvious answer to me is Don Majkowski.
Don Majkowski on this list is number eight.
Oh,
with
no.
With 56 total touchdown passes as a Green Bay Packer.
Come on now. Then you're talking about guys from a long time ago.
Yeah, I would say so. Somebody on here was born in 1928.
That is a long time ago. All right, that opens it up.
And the Magic Man, who everybody loves, in the top seven.
I mean, but he didn't start very long, so I knew that was going to be a challenge.
I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know. The next three names, never heard of them.
Well, one of them.
Never heard of them.
One of them's son was a big-time sports guy here in Wisconsin
never
for a while.
Never heard of him.
He was a TV guy, I think, in New York, and then he was in Milwaukee for a while. That opens it up for you, 800-990-ESPN. It's 800-990-3776. Give us a call. Who has the most career touchdown passes in Packers history? We are talking... I mean, this is a ridiculous question.
No, well, I'm very curious because for me as a Packer fan...
I'm saying
fan,
numbers 5, 6, and 7, as I said.
This is for real Packers fans.
It
is. This is for real because I don't know these guys. I can admit that. I have no idea.
If you know this, you are a real one or you're looking it up and you're cheating. 800-990-ESPN. It is 800-990-3776. Speaking of cheating, I know... You had accused Chef Ed of doing some cheating. So at some point, we are going to have Chef Ed in studio to see how he does in the 7 at 11 when we know he's not cheating, which you, Kyle, accused him of.
I sure did.
Let's talk to David, who's a machine operator. You're on Sunday Karma. Morning, David.
Hey, good morning. Could you guys reset the list?
Absolutely. I can definitely reset the list. So we are looking for the 7 touchdown passing career leaders for the Green Bay Packers. Craig, you want to run through 1 through 4?
Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, Bart Starr, and Lynn Dickey guessed correctly. Don Majkowski guessed incorrectly.
Robin Rote.
That is very close, but I think we got to say it's incorrect. Thanks for the call. He got really close with Robin Tote. He got very close there. Tim, it's on Sunday Karma. Morning, Tim.
Did somebody say Tobin Rote?
There it is. Tobin Rote. That is number 5.
No,
well done.
Wait. Okay. So he's Tim's retired. Who is this Tobin Rote?
He was, I just know that was Rock Rote's dad, right?
Rock Rote.
Who was the TV guy, Tim?
I think he also played for the Giants.
Yep. Because he and Rock Rote was growing up for me. He was on in New York, and then when I moved to Wisconsin, he ended up here in Milwaukee.
The Packers and Chargers he played for.
Tobin Rote, number 5. You have any other guesses for us?
Arnie Herber
is correct. I do not know who that is.
Who is Arnie Herber, born in 1910? How do you know about old Arnie, Tim?
I took a course online for Packer history.
That is unbelievable. Only Packers fans do that. That just moved Packer fans up a notch in my mind that you're doing that. All right, do you have a guess at our final answer here?
Yeah, I'll say one other one. His name was interesting because he actually was alive when everyone went into the Hall of Fame. Cal Hubbard?
He is not correct. Thanks for the call, Tim, but great job knocking out those first few. That was impressive that he got Arnie Herber, who I never heard of. So we have Lynn Dickey, Tobin Rote, Arnie Herber.
Can we give the numbers really quickly? How many touchdown passes?
Arnie Herber has 66 touchdowns.
66 touchdown passes.
I mean, it means that Jordan Love, by the way, is number 9 on this list. Jordan Love's about to break into the top 7 of all-time Packer quarterback touchdowns. We are missing just one player on this list, and I haven't heard from this guy in a while. It is the honest one, Honest Mike. You're on Sunday Karma. Good to hear from you, Mike.
Yeah, morning, boys. Is it Randy Wright?
Is it Randy Wright, whose 31 touchdowns put him at number 10 on this list?
Can we just get really quickly, Mike and Madison, surprising he got it wrong, but can we just talk about Randy Wright played at Wisconsin?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Can we talk about number 10 on the list has 31 touchdown passes. 31. This is a season. Jordan Love had 32 touchdown passes this year, and number 10 on the Packers all time.
Well, that shows just the continuity, right? That in the passing era of the NFL, it's been so dominated by, you know, two players. So that makes sense. Thanks for the call, Mike, and great to hear from you.
Yep.
Number 7, by the way, shares the same birthday as me, except he was born in 1915. So he was born the same day as me, just 60 years before me. That is who our last answer is on this list. Which I know, I didn't know this name went back that far. The first name, Lil
Really?
Surprised.
I mean, that sounds like an old school name, don't it?
It does.
Yeah.
I thought it was more of a brother name.
It is a brother name. But you know, sometimes.
I didn't think there were brothers in the league back then.
I actually thought the same thing. I said, this sounds like a brother, but I doubt it was based off the quarterback position. But you never, you know.
I don't think there were any brothers in the league, much less quarterbacks.
You know, you name people how you know the names, you know.
Kevin, the bartender, you're on Sunday Karma. Kevin, you have our 7th.
Well, I might. I'm going to go with Lamar McCann.
Lamar McCann. Who I do not know who that is.
He's number 24 on this list.
He is.
And he has 11 touchdown passes.
That is a great pull.
Just I don't know who that is.
1963.
He shared playing time with Bart Starr when Bart Starr was young.
Nicely done, Kevin. All right.
He didn't share throwing touchdown passes, wouldn't tell you that much.
Well, he did. He got 11, which is impressive.
Oh, I guess 11 is impressive back then. They were like running the ball nonstop.
Yeah, that is wild. The guy who's last on this list, we are not going to get, and I don't want to waste too much time on it.
You never know.
His initials are CI. CI. I'll give you his initials. His initials are CI. And he was playing in, let's see what years. He was playing in the late 30s and early 40s.
So Tim retired is calling back.
All right.
And, you know, Tim may be, I don't know how old Tim is, but he's retired, so I'm assuming he's 65.
Let Tim help knock this guy out because he took the class. What's up, Tim?
Cecil Isabel.
Hey!
Yeah. Now, what do you know about old Cecil Isabel?
Well, his wife was in a lot of the videos I watched.
That's impressive. Yeah.
Did they have film of him running around in black and white or no? Is that too old?
Oh, yeah, they did. They did.
Was he good?
He was good, yeah, comparatively. I mean, he's not Lamar Jackson, but he was I think he actually might even talked on a video or two, but he was in his 60s or 70s at that time.
Well, and he played in 3 different postseason years, which back then, to make the playoffs, you had to like have pretty much like won the league, I think, right? So the fact that he was
29, 30, and 31?
38, 39, and 41.
Oh, yeah. So during the World War II years, basically.
Yeah.
What was going on over in Europe.
Yep.
All right. I am a history fan in general.
That's awesome. Thanks so much, Tim. Tim, helping us out.
Well, we just took a Packers history class and lesson here. I'm excited.
Yeah, let's just go. Your best Cecil Isabel memories. 800-990-ESPN. It's 800-990-3776. That's what we're talking. No, maybe we're not. We are going to get back into the NFL as the inactives are out. T. Higgins, probably your biggest inactive today, along with Russell Wilson, which we shared earlier. Justin Fields will be starting for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ja'Marr Chase will be active for the Cincinnati Bengals. Really interesting to see what you get out of him. Interesting to see what you get out of Tyreek Hill, who is active after being detained by police on his way to the Miami Dolphins game at home against the Jacksonville Jaguars. This week, Dak Prescott has signed the largest contract in the history of the NFL. So a lot going on in week one of the NFL season. We'll continue to talk about it with you as we roll on at Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
I'm mad at you, Kyle.
Why is that?
You're like telling me in meetings that like your dream is to throw out the first pitch at a Brewers game and all that.
It is, Craig. I've always wanted to do it since, remember that TV show ESPN had where people, and I think Greg Matzik was on it, where people went around to different stadiums to do stuff.
Yeah.
I always wanted to throw the first pitch because I feel like they came to, at that time, a different name for the park, now AmFam Field. They got to throw out the first pitch, and I was jealous. Always wanted to do it.
Well, you don't even, I feel like you've been, like, not even, like, on the Brewers this year.
Oh, stop it. We just got our goodie bag, the Jackson Churio. I can go. The Jackson Churio bobblehead is right here behind me. I'm going to put it on camera. We just got our goodie bag. I think they had the Freddy Peralta soccer jersey they gave out.
Freddy Peralta starting today against the Rockies.
They must be giving the jersey out today, potentially. Yeah, I'm excited. I love the Brewers. And, you know, unfortunately, though, the Packers did take all the attention on Friday.
Packers took the oxygen, but the Brewers got back to their winning ways yesterday, which was a big win. It was also a big win because the Phillies finally lost, who the Phillies had been going crazy. So Brewers get within three games of both the Phillies and the Dodgers for the best record in the National League. The Brewers still have the best run differential at plus 137 in all of Major League Baseball. Kyle showing it off for everyone watching right now, showing off the gear that the Brewers sent. Kyle, best run differential in all of Major League Baseball as the Brewers get ready to beat up on the Rockies today.
Yeah.
Then tough little trip out west. At the Giants, should be, you know, grab two out of three there. Then at the Diamondbacks, who have been really good over the second half of the season. Diamondbacks have struggled a little this week. And then the Brewers back home for the Phillies for three, the Diamondbacks for four. So, interesting stretch of the season that ends up finishing with the Brewers hosting the Mets for three, who are the hottest team in all of baseball, as the Mets have rattled off nine straight wins to put themselves in position for the playoffs and to pretty much knock the Cubs out of position for the playoffs, which we were talking about at this time last week as a possibility. That is,
don't say we, you.
As
you.
A possibility.
You brought that nonsense.
I brought it up as a possibility.
That nonsense.
The Brewers will be in the playoffs. The Cubs will not be in the playoffs. And the Brewers will, in fact, win the National League Central. The question is, can they catch either the Phillies or the Dodgers, who both lead them by three games? But, all right, just wanted to.
That's exciting stuff, though. Literally next week is when everybody's going to really start watching.
All right, wait, real quick.
Yeah.
You going to root for the Cubs the next 3 days?
No, I don't root for the Cubs.
Playing the Dodgers.
You got to.
No, I'm just saying they're playing the Dodgers.
I'm only focused on we.
Okay, so you're not trying to get the Brewers into the bye. You know, to win and
The bye doesn't matter.
Okay.
Doesn't. It just guarantees that you don't have to play in the potential
wild card round, which is
a big deal. But I'm just saying, you got to focus on us winning. If it's meant to be, it's meant to be.
Yep. All right. So back to the NFL and back to what has been a wild day today as we said, Dak Prescott agrees to a contract now higher paid than Jordan Love, which, you know, each contract is that's going to happen. Ja'Marr Chase active, T. Higgins not. Tyreek Hill active, despite having the incident this morning where he was arrested face down from Miami police. The Wisconsin Badgers won a game yesterday against an FCS opponent where I have to admit, I went to walk the dogs when it was like, I don't know if it was 17-3 or whatever, and I came back, it was like 17-13. I mean, it got a little more interesting and stayed a one-score game for a while there, Kyle. As we lead into an Alabama game next week, how are you feeling as he puts on his, is that Brewers jersey? Is that a Brewers?
It's a Brewers like country denim jacket. Woo-wee, cowboy me up.
Cowboy Kyle.
Cowboy, like Cowboy Carter, like Beyonce, call me Cowboy Kyle. I like that. The Brewers are giving this out coming up too as well.
Yeah, you got some denim Brewers gear going on.
I love it.
So, Kyle, the Badgers are going to be hosting the Alabama Crimson Tide next
yes,
week.
Yes, yes.
I watched that game yesterday, and I was like, I don't know how they stay within three touchdowns of Alabama. But I looked at the spread yesterday. It was a 9.5-point spread for Alabama.
Yeah.
So maybe the belief is the Badgers do have a chance.
Yeah, the Badgers are it's tough for me right now because the fact that I really feel like the Wisconsin Badgers, I would prefer to watch them win games like this running the old offense versus running the current offense. But when it comes to Alabama.
And when you say the old offense, you're saying like if they were just running people over.
Yes,
and
it's more because there's so much frustration because yet we haven't been able to. I don't think there's been a complete game this offense has ever played. And I'm dead serious when I say this. A complete game where this offense looked exactly what we expected it to look like. And so overall, I would prefer to see us play action fake and hit dink and dunk downfield and watch Braylon Allen or Jonathan Taylor or Melvin Gordon run up and down for 200 yards on people versus it just kind of seeing seeming disjointed. But when we talk about Alabama next week, Alabama played USF yesterday, and USF was able to hang with them early on in the first half, and then they took off in the second half. And I believe the Wisconsin Badgers are better than USF. And even though Alabama was able to take off, I do believe that Wisconsin, if they can follow that formula, is a better overall football team, utilizing Tyler Van Dyke's ability to run the ball, move the chains, control the clock. That's what you got to do. You got to control the clock against Alabama. And what the Packers didn't do, you had to capitalize when you get a chance in the red zone. I think they can keep it within 9. I definitely think they can keep it within 9. But it's going
to
be tough.
I mean, but that means they can. You think they have a chance to win the game?
I mean,
because at that point, it's a one-score game, which if it's on your campus in college football, you then have a chance to win the game.
The matchup
predictor from ESPN has Alabama at a 92.1% chance to win the game.
You
Badgers a 7.9%.
I think the biggest issue is that we're going to struggle. Still yesterday, something that we saw against South Dakota. South Dakota, explosive plays. Big plays, right? And what Alabama has is explosive players in Green Bay Pack. The Wisconsin Badgers struggle to slow down explosive plays. That's why you're going to lose the ball game on Saturday because you're not going to be able to slow down those explosive plays. So I'm hopeful. You never know what can happen any given Saturday, Craig. So I'm hopeful that the Badgers can pull off the upset, but I'm not optimistic.
11 a.m. kickoff, Camp Randall Stadium next week. Pretty cool, though, regardless, that
man, I've been waiting for this game for 5 years.
I was going to say, with the expanded Big Ten, they have all these other interesting matchups, and then you get the cream of the crop of the SEC coming to Camp Randall early season for a game like this, which I don't know that the Badgers' first 2 weeks were great to get them ready for this game. I feel like Alabama.
Yesterday was a joke. I'm just going to be honest. Yesterday, struggling with South Dakota is concerning and worrisome.
I guess that's what I'm saying is maybe South Florida was a little better tune-up for Alabama than the Badgers had, you know, having South Dakota as a tune-up. Just if you're trying to prepare for the speed of Alabama, you know, South Dakota's a really good team at their level. They're a really good team.
Yeah, but they're not even the top team, though.
No. But they're a really good FCS team. But that the difference usually between teams like that and Division I teams is ultimately athleticism, right? And the difference between the SEC and the top teams in the SEC our athleticism. So it probably wasn't the best team to give you a feel for what it's going to be like. So I think this is going to be a really...
Are you losing faith in Luke Fickell and this Wisconsin, where their Wisconsin football team and offense and where they're trying to go? Are you? I mean, not, obviously you're not going to say it's over, but are you a little bit stunned that it just hasn't looked pretty, like at all?
I am surprised it hasn't looked prettier. Yes, offensively, it doesn't mean I'm losing hope. But if you had asked me going into last year, I think you and I both thought the offense was it. Like we were like, wow, this. We are going to be like all these other teams now. Like we were like, oh, now we're going to be like these wild spread offenses of these, not just the SEC or teams like that, but like seemed like when the Big 12 was like doing their thing, all these teams were putting up these big numbers.
Yeah, excited. Like they even against teams like
South
Dakota.
And wide receivers were transferring to Wisconsin. It was like, it's on.
And the thing is that this offense, you know, dink and dunk and move and take big play shots when you can. Is the tempo of the offense doesn't even seem like a fast tempo, right? Like, how many times has the Wisconsin Badgers ever had a three-play drive for 75 yards because they hit it big? Like, they have it. And here, this is the upsetting thing.
I mean, yesterday they had an early touchdown, but again, it's not against a non-Division I team.
You know, I'm following Michigan State more this year. And what upset me the most is that Michigan State had an 11-second play drive where they hit a big play for 77 yards. And I'm like, I want this in a Big Ten matchup for Wisconsin, but we just have not gotten it. That's the frustrating thing is I'm watching a lesser team in Michigan State be able to have a big explosive play against Maryland. Meanwhile, against South Dakota, we're struggling to have big explosive plays multiple in a game.
I guess my answer is I've not lost faith. And I think that how they respond to these next two games is going to be really interesting. Because I don't know that I'm going to evaluate this team based on if they're able to win against Alabama or at USC. I just don't know that, unfortunately, I don't think we even see this program in the same sentence as those teams, right?
So it's unfortunate.
So it's not, to me, if they beat either of those teams, it's how they respond to those teams, right? Because we saw Oregon last night, or Oregon.
Oregon.
Oregon. We saw Oregon last night. Struggle with Boise, who's a really good team. Really good team. But the Badgers should be at the level of Boise, right?
Come on. Did you hear what you just said? The Badgers should be at the level of Boise. They surpass Boise.
I'm saying, but at Oregon, Boise had that game pretty much won late. They gave up a kick return, and then they kicked a field goal to lose. So I'm saying when number 7 Oregon comes to Wisconsin, by the end of this season, the Badgers should be competitive in that game.
They should be, and that is the disappointing thing is that we're talking about should be. I want the old
Badgers.
Wisconsin
should
Badgers.
Be able to go to Iowa and win because Iowa State just did that yesterday.
Exactly, and that's
what I'm saying.
That's what we should be, and that's the expectation is that, yes, we're playing Alabama, but we're excited. See, when that got on the schedule, I was excited for the fact that we get the matchup against one of the best programs in the country. USC comes, I feel like we should be able to beat USC, not just say, well, you'll see what we can. No, I want to have the same confidence I used to have.
I know. And again, Badgers beat LSU at Lambeau Field, right? And that was a hyped up LSU team too. It wasn't like a down team. But I just don't feel like watching that game yesterday, it's fair to think they could beat Alabama or USC. But can they respond, play well enough, be competitive in those games, then beat Purdue, Wisconsin, and Northwestern so that by the time they're hosting Penn State, who struggled with Bowling Green yesterday, extensively struggled with Bowling Green, can we be looking at Wisconsin as a team at 3-2 that could potentially beat Penn State at home?
Yeah, I feel you. I see what you're saying.
If
it
that happens,
yeah.
Then this has a chance to be a great season.
And I'm
great, and not just like okay season. If the Badgers could beat Penn State to go 4-2, then buckle up. This is the Luke Fickell era has arrived.
I see your perspective and I love it because you're absolutely right. These first two games, though they were down, they don't really matter. They don't. Because now it truly does matter to see exactly how you gauge yourself up against a team like Alabama. And I think, again,
don't jump off the bandwagon.
I'm not jumping
off the
bandwagon.
No, I'm saying if they lose to Alabama and USC, don't jump off the bandwagon.
No, you can't.
Because they're just not there right now. But they have to be able to then pull it together and go to Northwestern on whatever field they're playing on and win, right? Like that.
Closer to late, though.
If you're not going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're not going to be competitive or win these biggest games, you better go beat Northwestern at Northwestern and then give fans something to be excited about going into that Penn State game.
I think these are some of the two biggest games for Luke Fickell early on in his tenure because, depending, like you said, even if you don't win, how you compete can show you whether or not you're taking steps in the right direction. Because if you lose these two games, regardless of how you lose, and then you struggle for the rest of the year, then you know that this football team has not taken the next step. This is why these next two games are huge, because if the Wisconsin Badgers can compete or pull off an upset against one of these two teams, the trajectory of this overall program, the confidence, the recruiting, everything, it changes.
But the Badgers got blown out by Syracuse in a game way back in the day, like 32-0, week one. Like, you know, that stuff can happen early in the year, especially when you come against a team that's just athletically at another level, but it's about how the team responds to that loss. And as Coach Alvarez says, to make sure they don't flinch. All right, we'll get back into the NFL as we continue. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
So, Country Kyle, you're going to be a little cold for a boat day today.
No boat day. It's supposed to be 75. No boat day today.
Oh, is it going to be 75?
That's what my phone told me. And okay. I actually thought about getting out there in the boat, but it's supposed to be 80 this week.
So talk to me about how on a non-Packer Sunday you consume the NFL.
I'll be consuming the NFL just perusing around, especially week one, just different games. So I'll be...
Wait. So is this NFL Sunday ticket? Okay. Is this Red Zone? Is this just watching the local game and looking at your fantasy on your
there
apps?
You go.
How you consuming the NFL?
And so for me, I'll be consuming it on the two local channels that we have here.
Yep.
For me, 5 and 6. Those will be the two channels that I'll be going back and forth. No Sunday ticket for me. But then on top of that, checking my Underdog Fantasy app as well. Promo code KBN. Checking that.
Okay, so yeah, if you want to get in on Underdog Fantasy, use Kyle's code KBN. What's the offer if you get in right now?
So the deposit offer right now is that they'll match it up to $1,000 for your deposit, I believe, like up to.
So basically, if you deposit $100, they'll match $100. If you deposit $500, they'll match $500.
Up to. That's what they
up
say.
To, up use to. Use code word KBN. Code KBN. On Underdog Fantasy with
it
Kyle.
It makes watching games so much more fun. But then on top of that, with the fantasy leagues that I'm in as well, so watching those and tracking that as well. So there's just a lot of juice today. And I am a football fan, so week one, I'll be looking around.
But
I don't
no
know
Sunday
what,
ticket for
no,
you.
No, Sunday ticket costs money.
It's not in your...
Not in the budget.
Do you watch TV like on an antenna? Like when you're saying go to 5 and 6, or do you have cable, or what are you watching?
I don't want to out myself, but I have the ability to be able to watch some cable. You know, I may or may not pay for it, but I have some ability to watch some cable, so I have the local channels. I got the channels.
Wait,
that I need.
Is it someone's? All right,
it's a family plan. I'm on a family plan. What can I say?
Okay,
you know,
okay,
I
just,
you
okay.
know, shout out to the family plan.
Okay, so you're okay, but the family plan. So
no,
why don't you say, hey,
ticket.
Family plan? I'll contribute the money for Sunday ticket to add it to the family plan.
Nah, life is too expensive. I got too many
Not
bills.
Sunday ticket, by the way. Sunday ticket's a lot. I'm saying just Red Zone.
How much is Red Zone per month?
Red Zone is probably on a sports package that's like $8 or something.
Oh, that's not bad. I enjoy just flicking back and forth. If I fall asleep, I'll take a nap. But I'm excited today because I'm not going to lie to you, Craig. I'm going to watch some of the Bears. I'm going to see what Caleb Williams is made of a little bit. But this is a big day. It's a big day. How do you consume NFL football? I know you got Sunday tickets, Sunday NFL.
No,
Red Zone.
I don't have Sunday ticket.
Really?
I have Red Zone.
So you just get all the scores.
No, I have Red Zone. So, I mean, Red Zone, to me, I feel like is... To me, I don't feel the need for Sunday ticket because I don't feel like I need to watch every snap of any one team. But with Red Zone, I feel like I have a good enough feel for every game that's going on. And then I have at least... two devices where I'm tracking different fantasies and wagers and all that going on.
Yeah. Speaking of wagers, Craig, you know, we went to Pato. We had our Pato, me, Ben, KBN.
Yes.
We went to Pato and I placed some bets. And one of them was Jordan Love over 3,800 yards.
Ooh.
And I partially think I'm to blame because I don't usually do that. But I said, you know what? This is fun. The sportsbook is dope. And all of a sudden, I place a bet on Jordan Love.
Wait, so 3,800 yards.
Passing yards.
Let's say he ends up starting 13 games this year. He's got to average 300 yards to get your 3,800 yards.
I said it was easy money. That's what I said. I said easy money.
I don't think in gambling, I think all of us who've done it enough know that there's no such thing. Even when one feels that easy.
If he stayed healthy, it was easy money,
but
Greg.
That's a big if.
No, was it? I guess it was.
That's what I was saying coming into the year. You're like the Packers. It's an arrogance to, like I'm saying, Jacoby Brissett for $8 million. And I know Jacoby Brissett wouldn't have maybe want to go somewhere where he would have no chance to start. But bringing a veteran in when winning and losing in the NFL is based on the quarterback position so much, why wouldn't you want someone who you know has competence? And I'm not saying that Willis can't develop into that, but he hasn't proven that over time. And obviously Clifford had not proven that over time. So if you think you're that good, if you think you're competing with the Lions to be the second best team in the NFC, which I think is where you think the Packers are, right?
Yes, I think the Packers
right?
are
I think
top
you think
team.
The 49ers yeah. are the best team and the Packers are competing to be the second best
team. I think there's four teams competing for number two.
Are the Eagles in that mix?
The Packers, the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Lions.
Yeah.
Top teams in the NFC.
And I think clearly not include anyone from the South. I mean, I think that's right. And so when you're thinking that, you're that close. And odds are I know it sounds easy to say it now, but odds are you're gonna need a backup quarterback to win you a few games, right? Jordan Love, remember, he was the quarterback who went into Kansas City backing up Aaron Rodgers. He had to go in there. And now I know that was a weird COVID.
He didn't look good.
That was a weird COVID type situation, but he didn't look good. And that doesn't mean that if Willis comes in and doesn't look good, that he can't be a good NFL quarterback the way Jordan Love has turned into what should be an elite NFL quarterback. It just seems like it's worth it to always have a professional backup quarterback on your roster and to pay $6 to $10 million for that. Given the importance of it, even if you never use it, to me is worth it. By the way, Dak Prescott, $221 million, I believe, of the dollars, either $221 or $231 guaranteed, which looks like it'll surpass Deshaun Watson to be the most guaranteed money also ever given to an NFL quarterback. So congratulations to Dak on that. He got killed by the Packers, and that is his reward. Yep. Your reward is, if you stick with us, you'll have our Palermo's Picks next. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
You're listening to Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. It's that time.
Yes, it's finally here.
Craig makes his picks of the week.
You can bet the house on it.
Picks of the week on Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin. Presented by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
Can't wait to see what happens next.
On ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Oh, boy, it is Palermo's Picks and a big opportunity. We said there's so much going on between games and gambling and fantasy and all that. But I think the pick that needs to be talked about is the paying off of the bet. So it sounds like we are set, right, for October 11th?
That's the day, October 11th? I saw the date. I thought it was like the 8th or something like that. The 11th, yeah, I've heard.
Friday, October 11th, I'll be going off to pay off my losings from last year. 24 hours in a restaurant. I don't know that we've officially confirmed the location, but we will share it with you once it is set. But 24 hours, and then your job, right? You had said you were going to review and determine how I could reduce my time at said restaurant, yeah, and the KBN crew.
We'll talk about that this week, because we talked about it maybe off air that maybe that was a cop out for you, because eating bacon to get 15 minutes versus eating pancakes and waffles, I don't want to give you an easy out.
Okay, well, you guys could decide. And then we said that Jen, Gabe, and Chewy would co-sign. I'm not trying to make it easier for myself. I'm paying my dues. I lost our Cover 5 league. Next week, we will announce our new Cover 5 league for this season, which should be fun and exciting. Although I don't think I'm here next week, but it will be announced next week, which should be fun and exciting. Oh, our show's not on. That's why.
Oh, right? Yeah, because of the,
well, the Packers and Colts play at noon.
Maybe we'll do something on social.
Yeah. Well, we may have to wait another week before it all gets going, because next week the Packers and Colts kick off at noon. So Green Bay game day will be leading in at this time. But I am paying off the bet. I know people have wondered. It will be October 11th. Many more details to come on that. So thanks to everybody who joined today. What was that? Oh, of course. Our Palermo's picks are brought to us by our good friends at Palermo's Family of Brands. Football season is here. That means it's all football and Palermo's. That means it's a screaming Sicilian for you today. That's right. When you're watching that late game and it's like the 2-minute warning of the afternoon game, throw in that pizza. And that's if you're not having Palermo's for dinner. You have a little pizza appetizer. You eat it at halftime of the 3:15 game and enjoy your Palermo's while you're watching Tom Brady's debut on that Cowboys-Browns game. Or you do it for dinner. And Urban Pie Connie's Surfer Boy, Palermo's Screaming Sicilian, locally owned, Wisconsin's hometown pizza. You're supporting Wisconsin, brand of the Felucas for over 60 years in Wisconsin. Palermo's Pizza is our hometown pizza. We have the game of the day coming up next. It's Justin Fields. It's Kirk Cousins. A battle of last year's NFC North quarterbacks coming up next. Stay healthy, stay together, survive today, thrive tomorrow. You've been listening to Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin. Don't settle. Kyle, send us out.
Peace.
This is ESPN Wisconsin and ESPNWisconsin.com.